pregnant again almost immediately after they had me, and we moved north to Washington, where my brother Larry was born in 1968, forever marking us Irish twins. My parents wanted to be artists and actors, but a bohemian life was not in the cards. The coffee house they tried to open in eastern Washington failed to spark. Instead, Dad would commute every day to Seattle to work at the phone company, while Mom would stay home with us kids, packing lunches and organizing AA meetings to be held in our living room. Weekends, we wore corduroy and went camping. It was the 1970s, and we were still a family, learning to fall in line and live out our respective roles. I was in the middle, the one who watched and waited. We lived in a three-bedroom Rambler-style house in a development on a cul-de-sac. Susan and I shared a bedroom, and Larry had his own. There were three styles of houses in this development, and that was the extent of the visual diversity there. Thickets of blackberry bushes separated our yard from the neighbors behind us, and fences separated the neighbors on each side. There was a path along the blackberry bushes that cut through the neighbor's yard behind the house to the bus stop we'd take to school until we were all old enough to drive. For entertainment, we had a swing set and otherwise played in the street every day with the other kids in our neighborhood or listened to the trains roar down the tracks nearby. You couldn't say we were poor, but wouldn't say we made it all the way to middle class by today's standards either. The family car was an unreliable Chevy Impala with too many miles on it and an engine that would stall if you dared apply the brakes. Consequently, Mom had to teeter on the precipice of stopping when it was time to drop us in front of the school. We had to kind of jump out and hope for the best. I wasn't embarrassed or anything. Most of my friends' families were in the same boat. At least my parents' thick accents were a source of fascination for my friends, who were moved to do impressions. They used words like soda instead of pop, or sofa instead of couch. I always wondered why they would want to move from the great city of New York all the way across the states to this gray and boring town where it rained all the time. Brooklyn had personality, and we lived basically nowhere. I've always had a reputation for being stubborn and prone to angry outbursts, even as a kid. In fourth grade, Mrs. Johnson wrote on my report card that I needed to watch my redhead hot temper. What can I say? I had a lot of unchanneled aggression. I was probably still angry with other adults I considered assholes, such as Mrs. Goodwin, who the year before had told my parents I was uncoordinated. I don't know what she meant by that. Maybe she meant looks uncomfortable in a dress, which I will own. The bar for elementary schoolers wasn't set very high. At least I wasn't eating glue like Brent Stoller. I was pretty androgynous then. Until about eight, Mom had been dressing me like my older sister for school each day. Dresses and tights, little patent leather shoes. One day I told her I wanted to wear pants, and she said, "Well, this is what all the big girls are wearing." I remember thinking, exactly, no thanks. She relented when we discovered the genius novelty clothing line called Geranimals, my saving grace. Match the animal tag on the shirt with the animal tag on the pants, and you've got an outfit. After that, Mom tried to embrace my inner butch, which I still appreciate. She made sure to point it out whenever there was a woman doing a man's job. That lady's driving a dump truck, or, "Look, that's a lady climbing that telephone pole. Isn't that neat?" She encouraged me to play soccer, which I loved and needed to blow off steam. I knew at a young age that I wasn't a typical girl, that in some ways I had more in common with boys. I remember tag was the trendy recess game in first grade, but with boys as the chasers and girls as the chased. I didn't do anything about it, but I wanted to chase the girls too. By third grade, I'd figured out that I had a crush on the prettiest girl in class, Lorna, whom I quickly won over by winning the talent portion of the friendship competition. I discovered that if I could make someone laugh, I was in. They'd want to spend all their free time being entertained by me, and I could spend my time feeling okay about myself. When we were still kids, our mother was pretty crafty. She had a creative side that she was always encouraging us to explore.